Today on Maine Calling, baby names, what's in vogue and why. 100 years ago, the most popular baby names in the U.S. were Mary and Robert. What are they today? Well, here's a hint. Mary and Robert are not even in the top 10. Naming a baby is a big deal for most parents. How to choose? All kinds of factors influence the big decision. Songs, movies, books, sports icons, and cultural phenomena like interest in space or ancient civilizations. Sometimes Maine baby names are influenced by local places or people. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we talk about trending baby names, names that have fallen off the radar, and what it all says about our culture. How did you choose your child's name? This program is part of our series, Name Calling on Maine Calling. That's just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible by contributing listeners and support from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure throughout Maine, now open in Bangor, Waterville, and Augusta, and by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering healthcare, education, and support to islands and coastal Downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. When I was in school, Jennifer was a pretty common name. It was the most popular name, in fact, for girls for 14 years. Nowadays, it's not even in the top 200 list. Today, we're going to talk about trends in baby names and whether Maine has certain favorites, plus how people go about picking a name. It's different than it used to be. This show is part of our series, Name Calling on Maine Calling. Joining us for this hour, Sophie Keem, who is the editor-in-chief of Nameberry, which is a baby naming site. We invite you to join the conversation. Do you like names that are popular or uncommon? Did you have trouble choosing a name for your baby? Share your story by email, talk@mainepublic.org. Post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Sophie, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Before we talk about the actual names that are trending now, let's talk about how baby names are chosen and how that's changed over the years. So 50, 100 years ago, how did people choose baby names, and how do they do it today?
Baby naming has come a long way. Back in the day, parents used to be influenced by, you know, things they saw in a way that they still are today, but they would see a name in the newspaper. It was more common to name your child a name that was connected to politicians. And this started to change as resources came about. Around World War II era, these pamphlets started to be produced that gave alphabetical lists of names and maybe some information about origin. And that shifted, and eventually we would see books that were filled with, you know, you might see this on your bookshelf, 100,000 names, and it is, again, this dictionary style, but more and more names. In the 1980s, the co-founders of Nameberry wrote their seminal book, Beyond Jennifer and Jason, actually, and they influenced how we think of names today, organizing them by style, image, popularity. And now this is what parents are concerned about when choosing a baby name. And they luckily have the internet to find any name under the sun that they could possibly want.
I noticed that your site has a baby name generator. How does something like that work? What are they asking? How are you figuring it out?
Yeah, it's basically like a personality test of sorts. So you go on, you answer a few questions, and our baby name generator, it produces names that you will like. And it's actually pretty scarily accurate, I must say, for including questions that aren't necessarily related to names. And then you can refine your list from there. You heart the names that you like, cross out the ones that you don't, and it, based on, you know, what our users and our data from the website of years of our users, who we call Barrys, liking names and being interested in names. It gives you good information about what people like you might like.
I noticed you wrote a recent article about trends for 2026 in names, and it's so interesting because it's not what you might think. Your number one trend is ancient civilizations.
Yeah. So what we always say is that the names at the top of the charts move slowly. So I can say with near certainty that Liam is going to be the most popular boy name in the US again for 2025, and Olivia will probably be the most popular name for girls. So we are more interested at Nameberry in the names that are going to rise really quickly. And so our trends focus on that. And names from ancient civilizations, the reason this is trending is because there's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. People are turning to, these romanticized pasts as inspiration for their children's names. So this could connect with their own heritage, right? We're seeing a lot of ancient Mesoamerican names used among American families who have Latin American heritage. But we're also seeing the rise of ancient Greek and Roman names, some of which feature quite prominently in the name stats too, like Aurora, for example.
What was it? I was thinking as you said that, do people tend to more now or less now, when you talked about heritage, think about their heritage, whether their family immigrated from Ireland or China or something? Do people try to find a name that fits in the cultural heritage, or not so much?
We're seeing a big shift in this. So, back in the day, this used to be very popular for people to give their child a name that matched their heritage. And then with all the immigration to the US in the, late 19th, early 20th century, assimilation became a higher value. So we saw a high percentage of babies being given very popular names like Mary and Linda, even Jennifer, right? In the mid-century through the 1970s, this was still an American value. And now parents are valuing unique names more. And we're seeing certain types of parents go back to heritage. I think it's a way to connect their child to family history. And it also can be a new kind of honor name. Maybe you don't want to use your grandmother's exact name for your child, but she came from Scandinavia. So you can choose a very of the moment Scandinavian name. And today, that for many parents feels like an honor to a loved one.
And how many people, when I was growing up, so many boys especially were named after their father, and girls maybe not their mother but their grandmother. And is that still a thing, or not as a common?
Well, again, we're seeing some shifts. So fewer juniors, thirds, fourths, and so on overall. And people are getting more creative. I think there's it's the concept of an honor name has been broadened. Part of this is because parents today are increasingly they increasingly like the idea of their child being their own person, a unique individual. When I'm working with parents in a consulting capacity, I hear a lot that they want a unique name or something that no other child in school is going to have or nobody else in the family has. So, but there's still this, sometimes pressure, but often desire to honor family members. So what people are doing today is they're looking at, okay, what's my mom's favorite color, right? If mom loves purple, maybe I'm going to choose violet for my daughter as a roundabout way of honoring mom, or the street that my grandfather grew up on. They're looking for these tangential connections, and they're imbuing those with meaning.
So you already gave away the number one name in America right now. The number one names, Liam and Olivia. That's fine. And you think that those will continue for 2026. So round out the top five for us. So for boys and girls, after Liam and Olivia, what do we see?
Yeah, so after Liam and Olivia, for girls, number two in the US is Emma, followed by Amelia, Charlotte, and Mia. And for boys, after Liam, we have Noah, Oliver, Theodore, and James.
It seems as though the girls' names all kind of have something in common, whereas the boys, not as much. I hear a lot of M's and a lot of names that end in an A.
They all end in A, all in the top seven actually end in A for girls because we have Sophia and Isabella on there as well. Oh, besides Charlotte, which
That's right,
is
Charlotte. Yeah, not.
the top girl name in Maine actually. But yeah, I mean these days because the US has more Spanish speakers than ever before, a name really has to be multicultural to reach the top of the charts. And so, girl names that end in A, very popular among Spanish speakers. And even names like Liam, a lot of us think of it as an Irish name, the Irish short form of William, but it works in a lot of different languages because the sounds are easy to pronounce. So Spanish speakers are using it. I know of a lot of Jewish families that are using it as well because there's a way you can kind of create a meaning for it in Hebrew. So we are seeing, for boys, those ones like and Noah as well have to have that multicultural capacity, but also, just these vintage names like Oliver and Theodore are capturing the hearts of lots of parents.
Well, on the line with us now is Kim Hagen. She is State Registrar for Maine's CDC Data Research and Vital Statistics Office. Thank you so much for calling in, Kim.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So Sophie already told us that the number one name for girls in Maine is Charlotte. What is the number one name for boys?
Oliver.
Oliver. Okay. So the names
That's
that are
a 5 year, actually, that's a 5 year, from 2020 to 2024, it was Oliver.
Okay. So they're names that are common and popular in the US in the top five, but still a little different here in Maine. Do you, Kim, how do you keep track of the names? How do you get the vital records? How does this work?
We have a system that an electronic reporting system. All births are registered, recorded, and registered in that system. So in the hospital, the certifiers do it, typically within 2 days of birth, and then home births are. Or midwives are done a little differently. Those are still a paper form that get into our system. So we have all the births registered in the state, and we are the central registration for the state.
I'm
So yeah,
wondering, yeah.
the names were really similar to what which has already been said. But what our names they didn't the top weren't that much different, but
I'm wondering though, I'm curious about the name Charlotte in particular. Do you think that that is because of the popularity of Charlotte's Web or not so much?
I think it has to do with Princess Charlotte. We seem to it was prior to 2015, it was down around the 13 to 15, and since 2015, it's been the top name.
All right. Are
So
there
I'm
any
thinking
Maine
it might be royal
celebrities?
connections.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there are any Maine celebrities who seem to have names that are gaining popularity.
During the Tom Brady years, Brady was a popular name. Now there's and Cooper has been popular for a while, but I did look and in the past 2 years, there have been 64 Coopers, which is more than what we were seeing. So I don't know if that's attributed to Cooper Flagg. I'm assuming it might be. And also along that line, his twin brother Ace, there were actually several names that, well, I wouldn't say several, but a couple dozen names that were Ace in since 24.
That's neat. Well, Kim, thanks so much for calling in. Kim Hagen is state registrar with the Maine CDC. Sophie, when people are naming their children the name of a celebrity, like Princess Charlotte, I guess she's a celebrity, a royal family member, or maybe Cooper Flagg, the basketball player, is it because they really like that person, or is it just because that name is in the ether and they heard Princess Charlotte and they thought, oh, Charlotte, that's a pretty name?
It's both. So you see certain parents admit, at least, that, yeah, this was a direct influence. And Charlotte really rose in popularity nationally after Princess Charlotte was born. And so we definitely attribute it to her. And then sometimes parents just hear the name and they don't even necessarily realize what the influence is. I mean, these days, if a parent is naming their daughter Charlotte, they've probably heard it on the playground, or it's just in the air more than it was before Princess Charlotte's birth.
Let me ask you about this idea of old-fashioned names, because if one walks through an old cemetery in Maine, you're going to see a lot of names that are popular today. You mentioned Emma. You mentioned Olivia, you know, and these are names that you might find in an old cemetery. But then there are other names that do not come back. I'll give an example. My grandmother, two grandmothers, their names were Hazel and Hilda. When my brother and I used to think that those names were hilarious. We thought Hazel and Hilda were the funniest names. Now Hazel's very popular, but Hilda is not. So, you know, why do some older names come back and some they don't?
Oh, that is a good question. I mean, a lot of it has to do with the sounds of the times. I personally really like Hilda. I think that's a very sweet name, but people are not using it. You're right. Whereas Hazel is extremely popular. But Hazel's rise has to do with both that it felt ready to come back. We have something at Nameberry called the 100-year rule, where names take about 100 years to come back into fashion since their peak. But Hazel also is kind of riding this rise of other nature names that gained in popularity around the same time. And Maine in particular really loves nature names. We see more babies with names like Willow and Fern for girls and Forest and Oakley for boys than average in Maine. And it also, Hazel is that old-fashioned name too that parents are really liking, particularly in Maine. You guys have a lot of old-fashioned names that are disproportionately popular, like Faye, Lenora, and Dorothy, Alden, Abram, and Marshall. So I think the blend of those two things really helped Hazel rise, whereas Hilda's a Germanic name, and parents largely abandoned Germanic names after World War I. So they're not, even still today, they haven't seen this comeback that they necessarily deserve.
Oh, interesting. Well, we are going to take a quick break. We're talking about baby names and how they're chosen. Take part in the conversation. Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and we are talking about baby names. Today, our guest is Sophie Keem with Nameberry, which is a website that's all about baby names. Share your comments and questions. Do you know anyone who has an unusual baby name? Somebody named after a place in Maine? Somebody who made up their kid's name? Give us a call or send us an email. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainpublic.org. We're going to have a little fun here. Here is a little clip from a Seinfeld episode where George Costanza had his own idea what to name a child.
I got a great name for our kids. Real original. You want to hear what it is? Yeah? You ready?
Yeah. What is that, sign language?
Seven.
Seven Costanza. You're serious?
Yeah. It's a beautiful name for a boy or a girl. Especially a girl or a boy.
I don't think so.
Well, you don't like the name?
It's not a name. It's a number.
I know. It's Mickey Mantle's number. So not only is it an all-around beautiful name, it is also a living tribute.
It's awful. I hate it.
Well, that's the name.
Oh, no, it is not. No child of mine is ever going to be named Seven.
All right, let's just stay calm here. Don't get all crazy.
So anyway, a little bit of fun. And Sophie, I have to laugh, though, because one of your trends coming up for 2026 is number names. Though I don't think yes, Seven is on the list, is it?
Well, Seven is actually one of the most fashionable number names right now and has
really?
Been for a few years. For girls and boys, for girls, you mostly see it spelled with a Y at the end. But yeah, exactly what was said in that clip, right? Number names are a new type of tribute. So you might use it to honor your favorite athlete and their number. You might use a number name to honor your child's position within the family. I've heard of parents name a daughter Una because she was their firstborn, or, you know, the parents that named their son Cinco because he was the fifth member of their family. So parents are getting really creative these days. And like I said, they're not necessarily wanting to make their children juniors or thirds. So they're coming up with these new ways to keep the tradition going, in a sense.
Well, calling in now is Samantha Gilio, who is nurse manager for labor and delivery at Maine Medical Center in Portland. More babies born at Maine Med than any other place in Maine. Thanks for calling in, Samantha.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I know that you are often there in the moment when a baby is named. So what is a common scenario? Do most parents have a baby name ready, or do you witness many discussions over newborns that are minutes old?
Yeah, it's so exciting to be a part of. Every birth really is unique in its own way. I'd say about 70% of people do know coming in what names that they have, more of an idea, but some do wait until that moment, especially because only about 60% do know the gender ahead of time, and some wait and see. So we'll see some families come in with a couple names, and oftentimes they'll want to see their baby for themselves and see maybe they have mom's eyes or dad's hair and kind of get a glimpse into what the baby looks like itself. So it's really exciting to see in the moment what they choose. I've also been in births where they have a name picked out and they completely change it based on what baby looks like at birth. So each birth is unique, and it's great to see the family's experience.
That was going to be my question, is how often does a family come in with a name and then the baby doesn't look like that name?
Yeah, it happens more often than you'd think, so it's super fun to be a part of. A lot of trends, too, like we were talking about early, I heard that you say things about numbers. We see a lot of older generational names. You know, we're seeing a lot of Pearls and Esters and Maves. A lot of bird names have come up over the past few months, which is really interesting, but we're seeing a good amount of Doves and Ravens. So it's really interesting to see, and I for sure will keep an eye out for the next year to see what the numbers look like.
Oh, my goodness. Do you have there been any babies whose names are very Maine, if I will, if named after maybe a town in Maine or a Cooper Flag or another celebrity in Maine?
That was what I was going to say, is we for sure have seen an uptick in the name Cooper and even Flag. So that has been really interesting to see. I don't have a lot of Maine towns off the top of my head that have been baby names, but more so the nature kind of theme that I was talking about and the bird themes, which has been an interesting twist in previous years.
Do you have any fun stories or any anecdotes that you like to tell at dinner parties?
Oh, my gosh. I think more just seeing, like you said, there aren't a lot of juniors or anything coming up like that, but I'm happy to report that within my own family, we have one coming. So I'm certainly excited for that. And, you know, I can't go into too much detail because I want to respect patients' privacies, but I would say I am never, I'm never surprised. there's always things kind of coming down and new names that you're learning. So it's great to see, great to be a part of, and love being just a small part of the family's experience.
Never surprised. I love that. How often do babies go a few days without having a name?
That's pretty rare. We really encourage the families to have a name prior to leaving the hospital. So in most cases, babies are named within that 24 hours. But like I said, sometimes families just want to be able to snuggle that baby and kind of see who they, what their little personality turns out to be. And then that's really an indicator for what the name will be.
Well, thanks so much for calling in, Samantha Giglio with Maine Health, who is nurse manager for labor and delivery at Maine Med. And that sounds like a great job, Samantha.
Thanks so much for having me and have a great day.
You too. Okay, so many people calling in and emailing. I want to go to this one. This is an email from Jennifer, not me. My 9-year-old son's name is Larkin. It's Irish and means fierce. I chose it because I loved it, but also because it's gender neutral and I'm Irish. It was popular as a boy's name in the 1800s, from what I understand. We've never met another Larkin. So a lot in there, Sophie. She knows what the name means. She also wants a name that's gender neutral. And then also, I'm thinking, even though it's an unusual name, Larkin, it's not one that's going to be hard for people to pronounce or understand. When school teachers see that name, when friends see that name, they're not going to get it wrong. But I'm wondering about this idea of a gender neutral name. Is that something we're seeing as a trend?
Absolutely. Yeah, parents these days are much more open to the possibility of gender neutral names, especially for their sons. Like in this example, previously we would see boy names get adopted for girls and only in that direction. And once girls started to receive the name, it would fall in popularity for boys. And so we have a lot of historical examples, names like Evelyn and Shirley, even Leslie, right? Names that these are not even conceived of as boy names these days. But with more new names rising into the lexicon, which include word names, but also last names as first names, these are inherently gender neutral and parents are really embracing them for both sexes. And Larkin's actually one of the names that is the most gender balanced in the US. It's given to roughly equal numbers of boys and girls. And like you said, it's hits that sweet spot of familiar, but super unusual, which that I think is what every parent is looking for, at least these days.
We'll go to Susan calling from Falmouth. Hi, Susan, go ahead.
Hi, I have three children, and I actually, like everybody, probably thought seriously about each name that I chose. One of the most interesting names is I chose for my second son, and I had a name book. I didn't know what I wanted. So I looked at my name book, and I chose the name Baird, B-A-Y-A-R-D. And I thought that would be a great nickname, would be Bay. And what Baird stands for is the personification of knightly courtesy. And I thought that would be wonderful. And so he was called Baird, Peabody Love, and we call him Bay. And because of what Baird means, my son, who is now like 41, his whole life, he has thought seriously about how he could personify a knight.
Well, Susan, thank you for that story. And Sophie, do you think that people's names influence how they live their lives?
And absolutely, they can. I mean, I think it depends on, as a parent, how much of the story you tell to your child. I mean, it sounds like Baird grew up, you know, understanding that the meaning of his name was important. And so it's much more likely then to be important to him. But it could also, you know, people, we have perceptions of names, and that can influence how others treat a child. The example I always use is Maverick is a really popular name right now. And we tend to imagine that name on a kind of rowdy little boy. And people might assume that a child named Maverick is going to act a certain way, and that could potentially influence him.
Susan, thanks for your call. We'll go to Scarborough and Allison. Hi, Allison, go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Longtime listener, so excited to call in. I wanted to call in because talking about Maine names, we have two boys and really enjoy Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain, a kind of famous historical figure in the state of Maine. And so each of our boys has a part of his name, so Lawrence and Chamberlain within their names. And I wanted to ask your speakers about patterns they see in between sibling names and how that ties together.
Oh, great, yeah. Allison. Thank you. Go ahead, Sophie.
Well, I think parents today are a lot more concerned with this idea of the sibling set and the names coordinating. So back in the day, when parents were naming twins, for example, you might see them choose rhyming names like Jerry and Terry. That was considered the norm in the first half of the 20th century. And today, parents want their children to be distinct, but maintain the sense that they belong together. So often when I'm doing a consultation or talking with parents, they want to know how a name, you know, will work with other names, or they're even thinking of this when their first child is being born. You know, choosing one name can rule out others, and they have to kind of decide on what their family's style is going to be. I tell everyone it's a preference, it's not a requirement, but if it matters to you or helps shape your search, go for it.
Allison, thank you for your call and sharing. I love that, Joshua and Lawrence. I'm wondering, Sophie, so much attention right now on the 250th anniversary of our nation, the big Ken Burns documentary series on PBS right now. And I'm wondering if you think that you'll see some of these patriotic names come back in 2026 because of it.
You know what? We've really moved away from a lot of what we would consider more patriotic names as a country. And we're much more likely to be influenced by the media, which today means social media, celebrities like Cooper Flagg. I mean, Cooper is definitely more popular than average in Maine. And you know, just what we're hearing around in our neighborhood. Right. So I'm not sure we're going to see maybe a small uptick among, you know, a certain type of parent, but I wouldn't say this is going to unleash a new major wave of patriotic names necessarily.
We're not going to see a lot of Benjamins for Benjamin Franklin or Patrick for Patrick Henry necessarily.
Those names are both falling in popularity. They don't have the same appeal. I mean, they're still, you know, quite popular, but parents want unique. That's really the buzzword these days.
Marianne of Facebook writes, when I had my daughter in 1974, the only Jennifer I ever heard of was the actress Jennifer O'Neill. Fast forward to freshman Spanish class in the late 80s, and every girl in that class was a Jennifer. And Marianne, you could talk with my mother because she claims that she did not know a single Jennifer when she named me. But Sophie, I'm wondering if there are names, even the number one names right now, Olivia and Liam, they are still nothing like Jennifer. And my husband's name is Michael, which I understand was the most popular boy's name for 44 years. That there's no name that's that dominant anymore, right?
Not at all. So even the most popular names are given to a much smaller proportion of the overall population of babies being born. So Olivia was given, I believe, I have to double check my stats, to slightly less than 1% of all baby girls born last year. And Liam, for boys, you know, a little bit more. Girl names tend to skew a little bit more unique. Yeah, I mean, parents didn't have access to baby name popularity data regularly until the late 90s and didn't really know it existed until the internet even became more popular. So now that this information is out there, parents are like, I don't want to give my child a popular name. And I hear this a lot from, you know, Jennifers and Megans, Jessicas, right? The parents out there that grew up with really popular names and didn't like how that felt.
We'll go to Eva calling from Rockland. Hi, Eva. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. This is a fun show today. Thanks. I just wanted to share an anecdote. We heard the Maine Med Labor and Delivery nurse lead talking about couples choosing names at the hospital. So we were just at Maine Med a few months back with a newborn, and we were one of those couples that I actually had a C-section. So we were there for a few days trying to pick out a middle name. And for our daughter, we were looking for a middle name that was a Maine Island name, because we both have a lot to do with the ocean for work and life. And it took us a long time to go through every island name in Maine and find one that actually would work for a middle name. But we chose Bailey because Bailey Island is an important spot to us. So that was a fun time to go through every island list. Not all are very good baby names, like Monhegan and Matinicus. We were thinking about that for a bit, but we zeroed in on one that went with the first name.
Eva, thank you so much for calling and telling this. And you have to hear this email from Linda. She writes, I have a story about middle names of Maine family members. My husband, Alan Drew Curry, born in Bangor in 1947, received his middle name from the Maine town where his father was born. This former sawmill town on the Mattawamkeag River disappeared in the early 20th century when the sawmill went out of business and residents dismantled their homes to move elsewhere. We have continued this tradition with our children and even some grandchildren, including place names Pembroke, Drew, Soames, Aaron, and Mary Meeting. And so, Sophie, I wanted to ask you about this idea of middle names. Middle names being the name that signifies something important to the family, but maybe not common, usual enough to be the name that the person is called every day.
Right. This is a great spot to use a really fun name. And we're seeing more people do this because, again, a lot of people grew up with what we would think of as filler middle names, maybe a single syllable name that just sounds good. It contributes to flow. And so there are still parents who are doing that. But a lot of parents are using this as an opportunity to, yes, connect to a place that's meaningful to them or a person, or just choose something funky that, you know, not everyone's going to hear. It's up to their child whether they want to reveal that or not. And, you know, Bailey is actually more popular than average as a first name, even in Maine. We don't have data on middle names. I wish we did. But we are seeing more of this significant place name for the middle position, especially.
Eva, thanks for your call. We do need to take another quick break. Our topic today, baby names and how they're chosen. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Some baby names are timeless and others are unusual or trendy. We are learning all about baby names today, and joining us, Sophie Keem with the website Nameberry. It's a website that helps people choose baby names and then compiles all kinds of information about those names. You can join our conversation if you can get through 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or find us on social media. An email here from Teresa. My niece asked me to help name her babies with a Wabanaki name, as we are Penobscot and I'm a language learner. A couple years ago, I encouraged her to name her third daughter Madison, which means youngest, thinking this could be her final child. This is a cultural tradition in the Penobscot and Passamaquoddy tribes, the youngest or last one. Yet now she is expecting her fourth daughter. So I love that story. Teresa, thanks for sharing that. And Sophie, it made me think of a friend of mine from college whose second child, a boy, has like five names. I can't remember what they all are, but it's like, you know, George, Stephen, John, blah, 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 because there was an expectation in the family that a boy would be named this name, and there were five of them. And then she went on to have two more. So how often is that sort of a thing where you're...
I see that more often than you would expect, because I think there is a lot of pressure for parents to make the last name, the last child's name, really special, or to honor a bunch of people. And so when another one or two unexpectedly come along, sometimes parents feel like, oh my gosh, we used all of our names. And that's a very stressful situation for a parent. So that's where I sometimes come in to help them find something that they like, hopefully just as much as their older children's names.
We'll go to Audrey calling from Glenburn. Hi, Audrey, go ahead.
Hi. When I moved to Maine about 35 years ago, I encountered more unusual names than I'd ever encountered before. Names like Wealthy, Iola, Inona, or for women. And for men, you know, Shirley, Pearly, Zebulon. I know you've talked about a little bit of this, but I'm just curious, and my name is Audrey, and I never knew another Audrey. I never met another Audrey till I moved to Maine, where I've met a couple. But anyway.
Audrey, do you mind if I ask where you lived before?
Well, I grew up in New York State,
So not that far away.
And I lived in Massachusetts too, you know. But
right.
Yeah.
So I guess the question to you, Sophie, is there something about Maine? Are we more likely to name a child an unusual name? Is that easy? I'm guessing that might be hard to measure.
Well, yes, but we have good data going back, you know, over 100 years here about Maine baby names, and Maine does have some funky style. So you're not wrong. I mean, these days, Maine parents are disproportionately likely to use names like Althea for girls, which is, you know, relatively rare across the wider U.S., and actually the most disproportionately popular name for boys, and the only state in which this name ranks, it's Horace. And I think it's because you guys have a governor, a former governor, Horace Hildreth. So Maine is the only state in which this name charts. It was given to 5 baby boys last year. So I think there's definitely something in the water in Maine where parents are more willing to give their children unusual names, and particularly these old-fashioned names.
So interesting. Audrey, great question. Let's see. We're going to go to Eric calling from New Hampshire. Hi, Eric. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? I was driving home from Kittery last night and talking to my wife because we hadn't 100% solidified it, but we've been talking about the name Truitt, and we did decide that's what we're going to do. There's no family connection or anything like that, which I think traditionally, like most people with that name, have some family connection, but we just love it so much. It's unique, but not too confusing or like people haven't heard it before. Just kind of curious your thoughts.
Yeah. So Sophie, Eric just said unique, but not too confusing. Is that something you hear over and over again?
That's what everybody's looking for. And I will say Truitt is a great choice in that case because it was given to fewer than 5 baby boys in Maine last year, which that's the threshold for making it onto the charts. And it's unusual, but it's very fashionable right now. I mean, the nickname True we're seeing start to rise a little bit, but Truitt itself, not super popular. And it has that stylish double T ending in names like Beckett and Barrett, Everett, which tend to be a little more popular than average in Maine. So I think perfect choice. It has everything you're looking for.
Well, Eric, congratulations and thanks for calling in. Let's see. We're going to go to Tavis, who's calling from Reedfield. Hi, Tavis. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Yeah. So it's actually it's a long A. Tavis is what my mom named me, but in law school I was Tavis too, so I go by either. But I'm not calling in about my name per se. I'm calling in about deciding what we're going to name our kids. And listening to the conversation, it was interesting, you know, we checked the box for a bird name, Maine name, and family names. So our first daughter, our first child was a daughter, and it was the hardest thing to do ever, hardest decision in my life to pick a baby name. And I grew up on Marinacook Lake, and we were floating on our pontoon boat while my wife was probably 7 or 8 months pregnant. And we were, you know, joined by a colony of loons came up to us. And, you know, and I was like, loons, well, what's the scientific name for loon? And the scientific name for loon is Gavia immer. And so we named our first daughter Gavia. And then we had a boy named Griffin, which was a family name. And he also shares my middle name of Rock. And our final son, who I was picking up from pre-K when I heard this program. My wife said, well, we've got two kids named G, not intentionally, and I don't want to have one who isn't a G. So he was named Grafton, similar to Grafton Notch in Maine. So we kind of checked the box of unique names, family names, Maine names.
Wow. Well, Tavis, thanks for sharing your story. And I really appreciate you calling in. Sophie, I listened to Tavis's children all have G names. When I was growing up, there was a family who had seven kids. They all had TH names, Thatcher, Thaddea, you know. Well, how common is that for a family to try to give all of the children a name with the first name, first letter?
Yeah, hard to say exactly. I mean, anecdotally, I see it here and there. It, again, like fits into that nice kind of, you know, sibling set that people are looking for. This can be a way to add coordination. So I think parents really appreciate that. But it's a personal threshold. I mean, for some parents, that's too matchy. And for other parents, they really like that connection. So I see parents either, you know, firmly in one camp or the other, right? We really want to give all our kids the same initial, or we really want to make sure they all have separate initials.
We'll go to Susan calling from Portland. Hi, Susan. Go ahead.
Hi there. I just wanted to share the story of a few decades ago. I was in South Dakota on the Pine Ridge Reservation as a traveling midwife. And so I got to learn their traditions, which was that the grandparents name the grandchildren, and they can name them anything they want. They can name them after animals or relatives or weapons, like a fleet arrow or something like that. But the one I really loved the best was a grandparent looking out the window in January at sunset and naming the child January Sunset.
Susan, thank you so much for calling and sharing the story, that story. Sophie, does that happen anymore? Do grandparents choose the name?
Not very often. It's a cultural thing, right? So certain Native American cultures, right, will that is a tradition. But outside of that, you're not seeing it often in the U.S. But I love that story, and I think that's beautiful. And I think January should be used as a baby name more often. It's pretty uncommon as far as the month names go.
Susan, thank you. We'll go to Ken calling from Arousic. Ken, if you could be quick, that'd be great. We're getting tight on time.
Yes, very quick. Thank you. Inspired by your recent speaker, whose name is Tavis, but gets mispronounced Tavis, I wondered if the person you're interviewing had some advice on avoiding names that would have difficulties such as mispronunciation or such as maybe other associations or definitions that the parents might not have thought of.
Yeah, good question, Sophie.
So my recommendation there would be to ask people, but I think strangers are better than some of our family members sometimes. So on Nameberry, we have a very active community in our forums. And I often see parents go in there and say, what are your perceptions of this name? Can you tell me anything that I might be missing here? So that includes things like difficult pronunciation or associations, because I think, you know, we are all just individual people and we don't necessarily anticipate all of these things.
Yeah, Ken, thank you for that question. Let's see, we'll go to Christine calling from Monroe, and I'll ask you the same thing, Christine, if you could please be quick.
Sure, sure. So in 1984, I named my daughter Nora, and all through school, right through college, she never needed to use her last name because she was the only Nora. Now it's a fairly popular name, and in fact, her stepdaughter is named Nora.
Oh, I love it, Christine. And you know what? In my neighborhood, there is a Nora, a Cora, and a Dora. In fact, I think there are two Noras, Sophie.
Yeah, absolutely. This is one of those sounds that is just coming back into fashion. So Nora is the most popular of those three, followed by Cora. Dora, I'm not hearing a lot yet, but doesn't surprise me that it is starting to make a comeback in Maine. You guys are early revivers of these vintage names.
Well, that's surprising to me with Dora the Explorer. It's been a popular children's show for a long time. So funny how some TV shows influence and some don't.
Exactly. Usually there's a kind of formula here for a pop culture catalyst to really shoot a name up in popularity. It has to have fashionable sounds. And so Dora is, we're not, there aren't tons of, really fashionable names that start with D. Parents are resistant to that, but I would love to see Dora make a wider comeback here.
So interesting, and we could talk all day, but the radio clock will not let us. So, Sophie, I have to say thank you to you for spending this hour with us, editor-in-chief of the baby naming site Nameberry. Today's sound engineer was Sam Tracy. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, all you writers out there, we are going to learn about how to get a book published. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.